And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
We hope you'll open your Bibles and study with us as we consider the question, why be a Christian? We want to emphasize the fact that it is not good enough to simply call oneself a Christian or to profess to be a Christian. We are speaking of the obedience from the heart, the commandments that God has given in the New Testament. In this life, it is often the case that we question things. It's not wrong to ask questions in order to demand the evidence to support a claim. For example, if we were interested in purchasing a particular product, and a certain claim had been made about that product, then we would ask questions to gather the evidence that would support that claim. I do not believe that anyone would buy a house or a car without asking some questions about it. Dear friends, when it comes to Christianity, we too should ask some questions. We should demand the evidence, which is what produces faith. Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Again, it is not wrong for us to ask questions. However, it would be wrong for us to be prejudiced against or even reject the evidence. Let me use Thomas as an example. Thomas is often criticized and called Doubting Thomas. I believe this is an injustice to him. Thomas was simply demanding to see the evidence. If he had rejected the evidence once he saw it, then the criticism would be warranted. However, notice what he did when he saw the evidence. He said, "My Lord and my God." He accepted it. The purpose for our study this morning is this. For the person who has never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to emphasize to you the importance and necessity of becoming a Christian. For the Christian who maybe has become unfaithful in their service, we want you to realize the importance of returning to a faithful life of service to God. And for the faithful Christian that's listening this morning, it is to you that we want to reinforce our faith in Christ and to remind us of the great blessings that we have. So, why be a Christian? Let us turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and let us notice from there 4 reasons that Paul gives to us in this passage as to why we should be a Christian. Number 1, we should be a Christian because it is the Christian that has escaped condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The word that is used here, condemnation, has the idea that the sentence has been pronounced with the suggestion of punishment to follow. Let me use this example. A person who is on death row awaiting execution. You see, the sentence of death has been given, but it has not yet been carried out. While that prisoner is still alive, there is still hope, hope of pardon. The non-Christian, dear friends, is condemned, but yet there is hope, hope of salvation while they are still living. We are aware of the fact that the disobedient, those who refuse to obey God's commandments, they are subject to God's wrath. Romans 2, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The punishment for sin is eternal or spiritual death. Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages is what we earn, the wages of sin is death. But God sent His Son into this world. He didn't do that to condemn this world because this world was already condemned because of sin. But rather, God sent His Son into this world to save the world. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In these verses, Jesus uses the word believeth. That implies obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. To obtain salvation, we must obey, based on our belief, what Jesus has commanded. The only way that we can receive salvation is by the obedience to the commandments of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by obeying the commandments of the gospel found in the New Testament, it places us in Christ. Notice, Paul said that it was in Christ that we have no condemnation. How then does the Bible say we get into Christ? Let's stop here and make a note of the difference between the prepositions in and into. Let me use this simple illustration. If I were standing on the bank of the New River, I cannot grammatically say that I will jump in the water until I first have jumped into the water. You see, once I have jumped into the water, then, grammatically, I can say that I am jumping in the water. We cannot say that we are in Christ, and in Christ is where salvation is, according to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, until we first get into Christ. So how do we do that? Friends, I say this with love, but a man can preach all that he wants to, that all we must have is faith in Jesus Christ. It is true that we must have faith in Jesus Christ, but that is not all that is involved. That is not what the Bible teaches. When a preacher says that it is at the point of faith that we get into Christ, dear friends, he goes against what the Bible teaches. James chapter 2, verses 17, verse 24, verse 26 tells us that it is not by faith alone. In fact, James 2 and verse 19, the devils have faith. They believe and tremble, but they are not saved. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that a person believes into Christ. However, it does say that we are baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I once heard a preacher refer to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Where Paul said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then he went on to say that baptism has nothing to do with the washing away of our sin. It is true that Paul preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, but in doing so, Paul told us how we obtain the unsearchable riches. It's by obeying the commandments of the gospel, which will put us into Christ. Dear friends, baptism is one of the commandments. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Please do not misunderstand. We are not saying there is something special or magical about the water. The water does not take away the sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is what takes away the sin. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. But we contact that blood in baptism. How, you might ask? You see, Jesus shed his blood in his death. John chapter 19 and verse 34. And according to Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 that we read just a moment ago, Paul said that we are buried with him by baptism into death. It is in the obedience to the command to be baptized that we contact the blood that takes away our sins. Jesus Christ himself commanded that we be baptized in order to obtain salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Dear friends, Jesus did not say, he that believeth and is saved shall be baptized. Yet, that is exactly what so many teach in our religious world today. Dear friends, Jesus clearly put baptism before salvation. If we want to preach what Jesus preached, then we must include Jesus' command to be baptized, because it is what puts us into Christ, where there is no condemnation. Number two, why be a Christian? because the Christian has been freed from the law of sin. Notice with me Romans 8, verses 2 through 4. Paul said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Notice that there are three laws mentioned in these verses. The first law is the law of the Spirit. That refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second law that is mentioned is the law of sin in verse 2. The law of sin is the rule of sin in a person's life. The third law is simply stated in verse 3 as the law. Paul is referring to the old law of Moses that was nailed to the cross of Christ that had been done away with. You see, the gospel frees us from the law of sin or the rule of sin, and that is something that the law of Moses could not do. Let me show you this in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. The Hebrews writer said in chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." Dear friends, sin reigns in and rules the life of the non-Christian. Romans 6, 1 through 7 and verse 12. Sin dominates the non-Christian. Romans 6 and verse 14. The non-Christian is a servant to sin. Romans 6 and verse 16. However, sin does not dominate the Christian. We're not claiming sinless perfection. Oh, no. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Rather, the Christian is the one who refuses to allow sin to control his life. You see, he has denied himself. He has taken up his cross daily. Matthew 16 and verse 24. The Christian is one who constantly checks their life with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. James chapter 1, 21 through 25, not only checks their life, but they make the necessary corrections. Many claim that God would not condemn a person who is morally good. Dear friends, our deeds alone will not save us. You see, we must obey the commandments of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, is a good example. You see, he was a good moral man, but he needed to send to Joppa for Peter in order to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Why be a Christian? Because by becoming a Christian, we have been freed from the control of sin. Number three, notice with me, why be a Christian? Because the Christian is blessed with life and peace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me suggest to you that only Christians have life, true life. They have eternal life. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus was not talking about a life of luxury or a life of ease. He's talking about spiritual life. John 20, verses 30 and 31. John said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Dear friends, only the Christian life has purpose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Christian life has hope. Titus 1 and verse 2. The Christian life is a life of confidence. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8. A Christian life exists of true joy. 1 John 1 and verse 4. But not only does the Christian have life, the Christian also has peace. Two reasons. Number one, because he has made peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, the reference to faith there is not our personal faith, it is reference to the gospel system of faith. We're justified by our obedience to the gospel. He goes on to say that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. James said that if we be friends of the world, then we are enemies with God. If we're enemies with God, we are not at peace. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Number two, not only has the Christian made peace with God, but the Christian also has the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Dear friends, it is because of this peace that men such as Peter, who lay between two guards, who was going to be executed the next day in Acts chapter 12, could rest peacefully, because he knew his soul was in the hands of his God. This life and this peace that the Christian has, dear friends, it cannot be taken away by anyone. Satan himself cannot take away your eternal life and your peace with God. But you can give it up by choosing to go back to the old ways of sin and living that sinful life. Why be a Christian? Because a Christian is blessed with life and peace. Number four, notice with me. Why be a Christian? Because the Christian is a child of God. Look with me at Romans 8, verses 14 through 18. Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." Let me comment about this. Paul was not talking about a direct leading of the Spirit causing us to do things. You see, it was the Spirit that revealed to us the written Word of God, the power of God unto salvation, and those who are led by the Spirit are those who allow the Word of God to guide their lives. Paul said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God or are allowed the Word of God to lead them, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There are many people in the world. When you tell them that they should be a Christian so that they could be a child of God, their reaction perhaps is, "What's the big deal?" Let me illustrate it this way. Bill Gates, who is one of the richest men in the world, if I just walk up to Bill Gates and ask him for $1 million, his bodyguards would probably escort me away. But if I were Bill Gates' son, and I go to him and I ask him for $1 million, and if it's for a good cause, perhaps I would receive that. What's the difference? It's in sonship. You see, we have many privileges as God's children. We have the privilege of prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, John said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. One of the great privileges of being a child of God is that God hears us. James said in James 5 and verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I like what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Not only do we have the privilege of prayer, we have honor. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Dear friends, consider the fact that every parent, at some time or another, or in some degree or another, will let their children down. They'll dishonor their children. But God never will. What a great honor it is to be a child of God. Why be a Christian? Because we have God as our Father. And as God's children, we are heirs of God. You see, in our earthly wills, when we pass from this life, we choose who we want to receive our worldly goods. God has named who His heirs are, His faithful children. How do you become a child? Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, we're baptized into Christ, and by doing so, we become a child of God. In verse 26 of Galatians 3, for ye are all the children, literally sons of God, by, and it's literally the faith, the gospel system of faith. It is our obedience to the gospel that makes us children of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter describes for us the inheritance that is awaiting, an eternal home in heaven. Now let me ask, can you afford not to become a Christian? There is only one way you can become a Christian, and that is by your obedience to the commandments of God found in His Word, not just some, but all of them. If there are some Christians listening this morning who have become unfaithful, let me ask you the question, can you afford to continue in that state? We're pleading with you to come back to a faithful service to God. If you're listening this morning and you are a faithful Christian, one who has obeyed the gospel as Jesus Christ has given it, not according to the commandments of men, dear friends, can you afford to take your hands off the plow? Let me encourage you to keep on keeping on. The labor may be great and difficult, but the reward will be greater. Paul has given to us four good reasons why we should become a Christian. If you want to be a child of God, then you must obey those commandments, conform your life to His will, and He will make you His child.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.